let's talk about them. Basically, you know, there is a group of Greek words that make up actually the action on do, doest, does, doing, and basically it means performance. And I think one of the main thing Christians sometimes they wonder, well, am I really doing what I'm supposed to do? What is it that God wants me to do? Well, let's just kind of check out the scriptures and let our Father himself share with us what it is he would like for us to do. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 21. Jesus had been doing some of his work here in this great chapter, and certain of the Pharisees came up and said, "Hey, you threw our boys out of here, our money changers. We had this going and it was operating smoothly," they thought. "Turned our doves loose. They were mite infested, but we had them here." But the main question is, by what authority? You know, if you ever get to be a teacher, you're going to be asked that question many times by the higher critics. By what authority doth thou teachest that? Well, by Almighty God's will, okay? But anyway, Jesus had just been asked that, so let's learn from him. And we'll pick it up in verse 23 of Matthew chapter 21, the subject doers, okay? What it is we're supposed to be doing. Chapter 21, verse 23, great book of Matthew. "And when he was coming to the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, By what authority dost thou these things? And who gave thee this authority?" Okay, well, you know, when he marched into the temple and kind of took over, maybe they had a right to ask this, but they asked it in kind of a nice way compared to his cat of nine tails and whipping them out of there, you know. They were, so verse 24, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the way you counter, okay? I also will ask you one thing, which if you will tell me, I and likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. 25. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men?" And of course, old John had been baptizing there in the Jordan and people coming by the droves. Men loved old John because lives were being changed. And they reasoned with themselves saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did you not then believe him? 26. But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. I mean, we're kind of between a rock and a hard place here. And of course, that rock was Christ, the questioner, the questioner. 27. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Now, they lied. We just can't tell. We can't answer you. Well, they could have. They knew what they were thinking, but they were lying. And this in itself gives Jesus the authority to say, hey, I'm not answering you either, but Jesus always taught, don't just leave somebody hanging out there with no answer. He's going to answer their question. Verse 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. 29. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he repented and went. Now, I know none of you have a child like that, but this old boy did. And incidentally, what this is symbolic of is our Heavenly Father and his children, okay? Father tells you what to do, all right? And this old boy said, I will not, but then later he got to thinking about it, and he thought, well, I'm not going to get any of the crop if I don't. I better get out there and hump it. So he repented. Verse 30. And he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. He lied. 31. Whither of them twain did the will of his father? Now this is our subject, the will of the father. Which one of them did the will of the father? They say unto him, the first. Well, they could answer that, couldn't they? Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. I mean, you can't con Christ, and you can't con your father. Okay, you can't lie to them. They know what you're thinking. All right? 32, one more verse. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when you had seen it, repented not afterward that you might believe him. In other words, being the Messiah. He was the Messiah. That was the authority he used. Now look, why was the one son, he said, I'm going. You know, we have a lot of people like that in the world today that say, I'm a Christian. Yes, I am a Christian. And they advertise that in the community. Yes, I go to certain church. I'll be a church goer, but never a doer. How do you do the will of God? By understanding his word. Okay. We've got a lot of pretending Christians in this world today. That's why I'm so very happy for you all that you like to get into the will of God, which is to say his word, whereby you know how to serve him. But we've got a lot of people that claim to be Christians, and do you know something? This is shameful, but our Sunday school students could put most of them to shame that have been there 30 years. Now, well, are you bragging on your Sunday school? You bet. You know, they know the Word of God pretty well. And our 7, 8, 5, 4, 6, 13, 16-year-olds that call in on the television program and ask some of the most intelligent questions than you'd ever have a question asked out here on the street. A lot of people say, I'm a Christian. That's to say, I'll do it, Lord, but they never quite get there. Okay? And I'm not judging anyone. That's their problem, not ours. Okay? Don't ever take that burden on yourself. You've got enough of your own. All right? That's their problem. But my point being, God's not happy with that. He's not happy with that at all. He expects you, as his child, to do his will, okay? Now, let's go to another place. Let's go to the great book of Ephesians, if we may. Book of Acts, Romans, Galatians, Corinthians, and then we come to Galatians, and hopefully then Ephesians, if they haven't moved it on me here. Yes. Ephesians chapter 6, let's pick it up with verse 5. And again, now we go to Paul's teachings. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5, and it reads, Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. In other words, a Christian is a servant of Christ, not man. Okay. But he said, if you have to, do it to them like you would to me. 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ. Here's the word I want. Doing the will of God from the heart. Doing. That means producing. Getting it done, all right? And what? The will of God. That is what is ever so important. Well, what is the will of God? He sent you a whole book. He wrote this letter to you. He said, this is what I like. This is what I don't like. This is what how I want you to serve me. And there are always conditions. If you do my will, I will bless you. If you're one of these that I'll get right out there and never go, you can forget the blessings. They're not coming, friend. God is not a fool. God keeps good records. And he does love those that do his will. Not the will of man, but the will of God. Well, again, you confuse me now. What? The Word of God. Okay? The Word is truth, and it is truth that we do. Okay, verse 7. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. You don't have to be a man pleaser, okay? But do it like you would to Christ, and Christ will see that you get the blessings. Otherwise, hey, it'll be a rough trip, friend. Hey, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. It doesn't matter where you are on the totem pole. Maybe that's a poor choice of analogy, but anyway, wherever, whatever your state, God's going to see that you're blessed. You see, he holds the reins, and his will is ever so important in our lives to be dedicated to love and to follow his word and his will. He's going to see that you're blessed, period. That's the way it goes, okay? Verse 9, and ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He loans that power to you if you'll take it. Well, how did I know that? From his word. It's his will that you have that power. Dunamis, dynamite. To use in what way? In a godly way, of course. Otherwise, it's not going to do you any good. He's going to rip it right away from you if you don't. If you do it with conniving, hey, he hates that kind of stuff. He loves honesty. And he wants you to do all things as if you were doing it for him. No malice, nothing of that nature, and you're going to be blessed. Whether man blesses you or not, God will. You can always count on that. That is a promise from his word. And God keeps his promises. If we were to go on, we'd get into the gospel armor that shores up. In that same chapter, the next verse gives you power over principalities and high places. That means even demon spirits. He gives you that power. So it's awesome power in his name. So use it in his will and be ready to accept the rewards thereof, for God is not a respecter of persons. Sometimes he doesn't care as much about preachers as he does other people. Okay? Some may think, boy, he really blesses preachers. Some of them he doesn't. I know of what they teach. Couldn't. Okay? So anyway, that's their problem. We don't have to worry about that. We don't judge people. But what I want you to know is that when you do the Father's will, when he has a field and he's got work to do, the field is the world. And there's things to be done out there, a witness to be given. That doesn't mean you're supposed to become a religious fanatic. Nobody likes or particularly cares for a religious fanatic, all right? And I'm going to listen to your credibilities out in left field or right field. Use common sense and do it God's way, and you will always be blessed. Let's go just a little further into his word. Let's go to the great book of Hebrews. I want to go to Hebrews chapter 10. Why did Christ? This is the chapter that tells you why Christ died on the cross, to get rid of blood sacrifices, blood rituals. in the Old Testament, they're all fulfilled right here at the cross. We don't sacrifice animals any longer. But the purpose of Christ's coming and his duties. Now, let me ask you a question. You as a Christian, you're supposed to do his duties, okay? But if you be a Christ man, that's what Christian means, you're going to fulfill the will of God with the same service that he administered for Christ to perform. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 6. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Verse 7, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, back in the great book of Psalms, that is certainly written, to do thy will, O God. What was the prime reason? To do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadest pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. 9, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. So, why did Christ come? Why were burnt offerings done away with? Because he came, he shed his blood for one and all times, period. It's an insult to the Father and the Son to sacrifice anything by blood any longer, because his blood was sufficient for one and all things, as he became our Sabbath, our rest, meaning the translation of the word Sabbath. He became our rest, and you better have him with you every day. You're going to need it, okay? Then also, he came not to do his will and not to do your will, but to do the will of our Father. Okay. And how did he say he came? I come in the volume of the book. I don't know, have you read it? Because you see, it is the truth. And that book gives you the will of the Father. And from that comes the power released whereby you're a doer. You can get it done. You don't have to beg. You don't have to plead. You have the power and you can cut it. You can get it done. You become a can-do type Christian in the will of God. Hey, take one step over out of the will of God and see what happens. There's a fall coming, timber! None of you have ever experienced that, okay? But it happens, okay? It does happen. Don't get out of the will of our Heavenly Father. I want you to skip down now to verse 35. It's really one of the reasons we came here, okay? Verse 35 of this 10th chapter. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. I mean, how much have you got, friend? Which hath great recompense of reward. I mean, you're going to earn your keep. All right? Why? God blesses those that bless him. 36. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done. After what? Now, see, this makes it a condition. After ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Now, but I'm not so patient. I'd like to have that promise right now. Forget it. Now, this helps us a great deal in how to pray, my friend. This helps us a great deal in receiving God's blessings. This helps us a great deal in receiving the touch of the Holy Spirit, whereby you become prosperous in seed planting. You got to keep your ducks in a row. Well, what did it say? It said, after you have done the will of God, then you'll receive it. Be patient. That's just common sense, my friends. I mean, that's just That's just life even in the commercial world today. I walk into Walmart and say, I be executive type material. Hey, right here, yeah, right in front of you. You need a man like me. I'd like to have a check for $100,000 for my first year's work, and I'd like to have it now. What do you think they'd say to me? They would say, hey, come here and listen to this. You really got to hear this. Get out the cameras. We have really got a nutcase in here. Okay? I mean, it's only common sense. Okay? Our Father expects the same. After you have done the will of God, then God will smile upon you. That's just like the little boy that said, he's got the two sons, and he says, hey, boys, let's get out there and hump it. And one says, I ain't going to do it. And the other says, I'll go in a minute. His minutes stretch out, okay? Well, see that yours don't. You see, all these examples are for your edification, to help you to understand and clarify what it is to do the will of God. And the prime root lies in verse 6 and 7. Lo, I come in the volume of the book. Not, I come in chapter 3, verse 1. I come in the volume of the book. All right. 36, for ye have need, I'm sorry, we got that, verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Hey, this is kind of written to our generation in verse 26, reproves it because it talks of the unpardonable sin, all right, when God's elect are delivered up before the false Messiah, for them to refuse the Holy Spirit to speak through them. So it lets you know he's talking directly to a group. It's for everybody, but specifically, the time period is set in verse 26. Verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. Well, you got to have it. Faith is the key to heaven, but love unlocks the door, and love is doing the will of God. Okay, it's a beautiful old song. And I changed the wording just a little bit, but that's okay. It works. Okay. My soul shall have no pleasure in him. I'm sorry. Where did we get to here? Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. That's the unpardonable sin, my friend, if you apply it to this generation. If you draw back, when the false Messiah appears, you're not doing the will of God. I mean, I know that none of you are going to do that, because I know some of you have committed a sin, and as much as you're not to premeditate what you'll say beforehand, I know what I'll say to him. I'll tell that Satan a thing or two. Okay. You're ready. Okay. Of course, most of you were born ready, and that's all right. You never know when I'm jesting and when I'm not. There's a little bit of truth and a little bit of kidding to protect tender ears that might not understand, okay? Faith is a precious thing. I mean, without it, we would have nothing, because it is faith in him to know he is Messiah. And he is the root of that power and those blessings when we do the will of the Father. Verse 39. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. Now that should bring you to the party, because we're talking son of perdition here, okay? But of them that believe to the saving of the soul. You're not going to lose your soul. You're not of them. Those that, I'll be a Christian, I'll go, but what do I do? Well, read the book. It's in the volume of the book. Study it. It's not difficult. A child can understand when they follow the subject and the object by trimming off the traditions of man, whereby it flows as honey over the buds of your mind to receive his blessings in doing the will of God. Okay, turn over to the 13th chapter, I believe it is, of this same great book, Hebrews, chapter 13. Just a couple of things I want to pick up here. 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, in other words, he's got victory over death, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. I mean, his blood for one and all times. Don't ever, that's why circumcision is now of the heart, okay, for both men and women. Make you perfect or mature in every good work to do his will. That's the point. Make you perfect so that you can flash off, well, I guess that's a bad word, flash, isn't it? So you can drive down Main Street and say, I'll be perfect. No, mature so that you know how to do the will of God. That's why. To do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in men's sight? No, in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I guarantee you the glory is there. God loves his children. He truly does. Let me tell you something. He loved you enough that he allowed his son, if we were to go back to chapter 2 in this great book of Hebrews, to become a little lower than the angels and die on the cross for you, to show you, he won't ask you to do something he won't do himself. But the main reason he did it is found in the 14th verse of that chapter, to destroy death, which is to say Satan, the devil. And that's what he's in the business of, okay, is bringing back righteousness. And if you are one of his, you're in that same business, my friend, in serving the Lord. 22, and I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation. What word is that? This word. For I have written a letter unto you in few words. Meaning, get in, let the word of God correct you. Now, brother, I've got some news for you. I don't need any correcting. I'm perfect already. Oh, I wish I could get there. I wish somebody would tell me how they accomplished that, because there's nobody perfect. We're all children of God. We all trip and we all stumble at times. But the best way to solve your problems is to get back into his will and let his blessings flow. That's the way it rolls. That's the way you get his attention. After you do the will. Do you know something? Do you know what he considers doing his will? What is the main thing he wants from you? Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. I don't want your burnt offerings. I want your grace, which is to say your love. Man, if you give him your love, you're doing the will of God. That pays great dividends. So it's not hard to do his will. You don't have to be some rocket scientist. You can be a child that loves his father. That'll get you. That love will open the door, my friend. And it will, that he considers that a great leap forward. And you, when you just take time out to say, Father, I love you, it makes his day. Not all that many people make his day anymore. With the trouble and stuff that's going on in this world, I'm sure he shakes his head at what the children are doing. You can make a difference. You can do the will of God by giving him what he wants. That's to say, your love and your service, okay? Now, okay, let's go to just a little bit past here to the first epistle of John. First Epistle of John, doing our Father's will. Let's pick it up, if we may, in verse 15. Chapter 2, the First Epistle of John, just before the great book of Revelations in Jude. Verse 15, and it reads, Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now that doesn't mean that you're not supposed to want whatever it takes to sustain yourself and your family in this world. Don't go that far. Don't go there. It means don't love those objects instead of God. Okay? Don't go nuts over material worship. Oh, my neighbor's got everything. He's the biggest sinner in town, and God always blesses him, but look what he does for me. Well, are you doing the will of God? You know, you never know what your neighbor's doing. He might be selling pot or something, big time, all right? Guess where he's going to end up? We're going to have fine officers like one sitting right over here that's got a ticket for him. It's already punched, okay? And he's going to have a lonesome old time of it. Bye-bye, Mama. I'll see you in about 40 years. And Mama says, you think I'm waiting for you 40 years, boy? Now, I don't know who needed that. I hope nobody. I really hope nobody. But I'm telling you, love your father and not the things of the world. They will get you in big-time trouble. God knows what you have need of. Okay? He knows you need a car. But, you know, a lot of people will go to the extreme with automobiles. And, you know, everybody has their own little kicks, you know. Mine is airplanes. Okay, I'm sure, you know, I like good airplanes. I like fast airplanes. Whoa. Okay, but I don't love them more than my father, you know, and I do have a need for them. And don't put any earthly thing before God, all right? Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. You know? Wouldn't it be something if we were all perfect and those things never entered into our minds or lives? Well, unfortunately, sometimes some parts of it, not all, but, you know, that's why you have two bodies. You have a spiritual body within you, and you have the flesh body. The flesh body will say, let's do this, and the spiritual body will say, okay? We've always got that. Some people call it a conscience. I don't know. You call it whatever you want to. 17. And the world passeth away. That's why you don't want to put all your marbles in it, friend. It's just a short time, and it's this world age, it's time here, not terra firma, meaning not the soil, but time. This earth age is going away. And the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's why it's so important to do the will of God. Now, isn't it wonderful that he takes a little time here in this particular book to kind of reload your computer of thought and mind of what it is you want to be real careful of if you're going to do the will of God, okay? For look what he says. Do you want to abide forever? I do. And I want it to be in the kingdom of God. And I want to be there, and I want to love him just like the rest of you. Okay? Verse 18. John was real tender. This is the same old Saint John. Okay? The same John that would write the great book of Revelation. The disciple that Jesus loved. Is it any wonder? He continues, verse 18, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, that the Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time. In other words, there are many people in the world that will say, yes, I'll be a Christian. I'll be a Christian. Christ sent me, and I have a message from God. Okay? Well, maybe, you know, that's instead of Christ, because God comes in the volume of the book, plus the Holy Spirit. But you've got, as the Bible warns, you've got a lot of false teachers in this world. So they are instead of Christ. This is why Jesus would say when he was asked in Mark 13 and Matthew 24, tell us what's it going to be like when you return. And he said, let no man deceive you, for many will come in my name saying I'm Christ, or Christ sent me. He said, hey, I don't know them. I didn't have anything to do with them. There are going to be a lot of them. So you want to be real careful. But he's going to take the patience here to tell you how you can really tell the difference. Okay, isn't that wonderful? In doing the will of God so that you receive God's blessings. He said, they're out there. They're here now. And I'll tell you one thing. There are a lot more of them today than there were the day this was written. 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. And so there you have it. A lot of them go out for what reason? So you know, God runs the ship, okay? As long as you do your part, God will always take care of other things. Now listen carefully. Verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. That's not to say that you know everything in the world. It's that you know, if you have that unction, you know what is necessary to identify them. Well, don't you know, brother, it's not politically correct to say them. Well, in the South here, we say them there, okay? And I'll say it. It's politically correct in the South to say them there ones that ain't with us, okay? You want to watch them. They're not of us. They went out from us. Why? They don't particularly love the Lord. They love themselves. Now, let's take this word unction. It's charisma. In the Greek, it's charisma. It means an anointing. Where did that come from? It came from God. That in your mind, you have the unction that you know when you hear. If you have your mind in the simplicity of Christ's teachings, you know when it's fake. Man, you can tell, you can spot it 10 miles away. That's God's gift. It's called discernment. It's called charisma. The word gift in the Greek is charisma. Okay, have you got it? Has God given you a gift of the unction to hear and tell when something is fake? A lot of times, you know, you don't have to listen very long, it would seem, anymore. Thank God I don't have that much time to listen to television, you know. I don't know why people do. Maybe, I hope it's because I'm there, or we're there, okay, in part. But if you turn it on in about 5 minutes, they say, well, we're going to just take a moment to tell you our needs. We need friends. And we need friends with money. Okay, let's just not beat the old horse. Let's get right to the watering trough here. We want, this is hard for me to believe, but like I had a question Friday's broadcast. What about these that say, send us your bills and we'll pray over them and it'll be a sacrifice. Send us your bill money, rather. Now listen. What? Send us your bill money and we'll pray over it and it'll be considered a sacrifice? Then if you do that, how are you going to pay your bills? They don't seem to be too worried about that. It's just their prayers. I don't think their prayers will be heard when they rip off senior citizens, when they rip off people that want to go to heaven and really are not well-founded in God's Word, and they think all preachers are heaven-sent. You know, I don't think that's nice at all. And you know something? God doesn't either. Okay? But anyway, I'm only using that as an analogy to say you don't have to to listen very long till your unction will kick in and you'll say, what a phony. God does not send out beggars. Okay, I mean, get that settled in here. Okay, he said, whatever you do, don't take a begging bag with you. Do you not think God is able to take care of you? Then you shouldn't go into the business of teaching His Word. If you don't think God is able, you're in a poor place, friend, if you think you got to depend on people. Though God's people will do it. Okay? So that unction is very real. It is discernment. And that discernment will help you spot those that went out from us and are not of us, meaning Christianity. Okay, verse 21. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. God will not lie. Okay, period. Who is a liar? He's going to tell you. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Now, let me tell you something. When you tune in one of these programs that's supposed to be a religious program, and they have the higher critics on there, and they'll say, well, most of God's Word was taken from mythology. Boy, that unction, should, the hair on the back of your neck should raise up, and you should say, that's an expert. Okay, that's a drip under pressure. That's what it is, all right. That's how your higher critics make it, friend. They're paid well to smear God's Word. So there are many. You'd be surprised how many in the clergy today. I was shocked when I saw some statistics. I don't go by them a whole lot. But there is a large percentage that do not, that are pastors that don't even believe in the virgin birth. Yeah, that's sick, friends. That is a sad state of affairs. But that's where we lie now. So your unction doesn't have to be too fine tuned to know when you have truth and when you have a lie. And he cuts it down pretty. Anybody that says Jesus wasn't the Christ is a liar. Okay, period. And that's it. So, like it or lump it, that's his teaching, and you know what? It's very true. Verse 23, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Why is that? Now think for me, because the Father and the Son are one. Okay, Emmanuel, God with us. And you either accept Emmanuel or you rejected the Father. It's that simple. Okay? Verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Don't let someone con you out of your prize, my friends. Don't let someone con you out of your power and your blessings. They're yours. And you receive them not from man, but from Almighty God. Don't abuse them. Hang on to them. Hold them near your heart and your life when you practice that unction, that charisma, that gift from God. God will bless you. Verse 25, and this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. You can count on it. He promised it. 26, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. I've written this, and you're doing the will of God on those that seduce you. Now, this is why he said, woe to those that are with child when I return. He wasn't talking about a mother carrying a child in her womb. He was talking about his virgin bride that he expects to wed when he returns. See that no one seduces you and pulls you away from the will of God. in especially this generation of the fig tree. That is extremely important, okay? Let's talk about the Kenites. Let's just cut it right to the quick. And those that would do their work. 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him, that's that unction we were talking about, okay? That charisma of him abideth in you. It is there. Leave it there. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing, unction, teacheth you of all things and is truth and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. This word abide is akin to the word mansion, mono. It's mani, but mono is, in my Father's house there are many mansions. It means an abiding place or a resting place. Never mistake when I said he's our Sabbath. That's our rest. He is our rest, okay? There is no other rest other than Christ. When you abide in him, you know, sooner or later, you have to mature as a Christian to the point that you can say, Father, I've done all I can do with this. I'm just done. I think I'm going to just turn this over to you. And as I turn it over to you, I know you're going to take care of it. You let me know if I can do anything else. But you have to get to the point that you say, Father, I place it in your hands. Then that's a good sign of maturity. Bear in mind, I said after you've done all you can do, you've planned it well, whatever it may be, you've got it all laid out, and when you turn it over to him, then he will do something about it, most likely. That's called maturity in Christianity, is being able to, you do trust him, don't you? Well, I don't know if he can handle this or not. I think I can't, but I want to keep trying. But you've been sold out. If you think he can't handle, just that quick. You know, you can talk as a counselor till you're blue in the face, and you can't change a person's mind. But if God sees fit to change someone's mind, he can do it instantly, and the person will never know why they changed their mind. They'll just say, I really felt deep down that way all the time, or something, maybe something of that nature. God is powerful. He can change minds. He can change people. And abide in him. Stay in him. Let me tell you something. It's the safest place in the world. The safest place in the world. This is why God said, call me El Shaddai at one place. El Shaddai is two feminine terms. It means breast and womb, which are supposed to be the love of the nurturing of God. And the womb is supposed to be the safest place in the world. Well, I don't know about that anymore, but it's supposed to be, all right? Anyway, abide in him. There's no greater love than a mother nursing a babe on her lap, okay? That's just nurturing. God wants to nurture you that way spiritually, okay? 28. And now, little children, abide in him. You live in him. Rest in him. We may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Don't ever draw back. Don't be seduced. Don't be deceived by the false Messiah. He shall appear as Christ stated he would in Mark 13. 29, if ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. That's how you make the cut. That's how you can tell. You know, we don't have to judge people. We just don't have to. God takes care of that. Okay? All you have to do is do his will. And he will take care of you. You abide in him. That means you stay in his will. And you do his will. Did he not kind of tell you in this, hey, if somebody comes along saying, I'm the Christ, that's not my will that you be deceived. Because I'm going to tell you how you can spot them. If they claim that the Messiah that was born was not Messiah, then you better mark the person and go a different path. And he really, when you analyze, he makes things very simple for us to understand and to carry through. Now, do his will and be blessed. It is not be blessed and then do his will. Okay? You got to get that straight in your mind. That's like the two boys in the field that we started with. You know, Jesus has such a magnificent way of teaching, doesn't he? That he could take two boys and a father and just in one little analogy say so much about pleasing our Heavenly Father. You know, is one says, "Oh, yes, Lord, I heard you, I'll go in a minute. Then I ain't going to do it." And then you get the thing about, "If I don't do it, I think I know what's going to happen. Lord, I repent. Where do I go and where do I start?" "Oh, it's in the book." "Well, I'll get it done, Father." You know, so much. Well, see that you stay in the book. That's abiding in him. Why? "Lord, I come in the volume of the book." He's there. That is his word, and it lives. It breathes. And it changes lives. I think this particular ministry is a fantastic example of that, of how it does touch people around the world. By doing what? The book. That's all. Just the book. Okay. The book changes lives, so stay in it. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for the blessings. Father, we thank you for the simplicity in which you bring forth your truth in how we, with that unction, do thy will, Father. May we always be a blessing, though we're not perfect, Father, we know that. Touch us, heal us, use us. We ask it in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13, 23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And I want you to take it back to the Greek. And do you know what the word actually is? You must love less your father, mother, than me. Why? He died for us. You've got to love Messiah more than you do your family. And sometimes you have to leave your family because of that to teach his word. In other words, it's doesn't happen today like it did in the old days because we have modern conveniences of creating platforms. But you see, he said, "You must take up your cross and follow me." In that same passage, thought, why did you pick up your cross? Well, what did they do with a cross? They crucified people on it. He's saying, "You must love me enough to even die for me if it's necessary." Okay, it was dangerous in those days, okay, to spread the gospel. Being a Christian was a very unhealthy thing for the flesh in those days. That's why symbols such as the fish, which meant Jesus Christ, it was a symbolized. It was a cipher that you were Christian. Okay, when you see that sign, and what's beautiful is when you're doing documentaries and you find one of these Baal figures in America, if you go up to higher ground, you're going to find a fish or a rebus of some sort, or a Cairo, which is Greek for Christos, Christ, you're going to find that Christians didn't disturb their markings or the fact that they were there, but they went to higher ground and put Christ. Shirley from Nebraska, would you please tell me which scriptures... Oh, we had that. That was Shirley. Luke chapter 14. Check it out. He didn't tell you to hate your parents. I've seen preachers on the road. I left my wife because the Bible says to hate, you have to hate them to love the Lord, so I'm on the road. Mama probably threw him out, okay, when you get to the truth of it. Who knows? I don't know. But it's misquoted anyway. It means love less. Charlene from California, the other day I was watching Shepherd's Chapel. Well, bless you. And you said that Christ died on Wednesday. But I read that he died on Good Friday and resurrected on Easter Sunday. Well, Easter is a pagan holiday. Why would you bring that up? It was Passover, okay? Can you explain this, please? Well, it's real simple. How long was he to stay in the tomb? 3 days. Is it 3 days from Friday night until Saturday night? No, that's just one day. And so the reason people are throwing off is every Passover is a high holy day when you figure it on the calendar, and I'd be out of time. Okay, I hope that helps you. I'd be out of time, and I want you to know I love you because you enjoy studying our Father's Word in more depth. Most important, God loves you for it. Do you know what? It makes his day when you let him know you love him. It really does. When you bless him, he always blesses you. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, help us keep coming to you. I want you to do that. But there's one thing that is just really, really important in your life, and that's this, that you stay in his word every day. Every day in his word is a good day, even with trouble. Do you know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, is the living word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.
This has been a long time I've been...